Now, that's not my hand in that photo. But nevertheless, over the years, I've been able to fix a few of the broken things in my world. My skills, well, at least in some areas, are okay. And usually I'm willing to give it a go. Some might suggest fools rush in quickly. But nevertheless, however you describe it, I'm willing to give it a go. And look, besides, I really love the idea of being a handyman. I can fix things. I just love that idea. I was going to say, yes, why are you laughing? Don't you share my passion? Don't you believe me? Well, look, let me tell you, sadly, the truth is, even though I'm willing, I don't always have a lot of success. Like the time I spent the whole day working on an old car we had, only to have the motor blow up the next day. And truth be told, I just didn't have a clue what I was doing. I just didn't understand the problem at all. But in more recent times, I have discovered you can fix it, YouTube. I mean, come on now. Put your hand up if you've gone to YouTube to find out how to fix something. Yes, I'm not alone. I'm not alone here this morning. And yes, you see, at that time, our toilet was running all the time. And I want to proudly tell you, I fixed it. I fixed it. Now, initially, you know, I poked around. Yeah, I know what's going wrong here. Yep, I understand this. And I looked at this and I looked at that. But just like in the past, I didn't really have a clue what I was doing. And then I looked at YouTube. And there was this magical, magical moment of, that's what is going on. That's the problem. Now I get it. You see, I'd totally misunderstood the cause of the problem. But once I knew the reason for the leak, it wasn't that hard to sort it out. It's true, isn't it? If you want to fix something, you need to correct diagnosis of the problem in the first place. And this is true not only of cars and toilets, it's true of everything. Even of what we have been in recent weeks calling this broken world. This world of broken lives, this world of broken relationships, this world of that where we're so conscious of all around us, a broken environment. One of the things I really appreciate about the Bible is its clear diagnosis of why this world is broken. The Apostle Paul, for example, paints a very clear picture for us in his letter, the letter he wrote to the first century Christians in Rome. Let me read for you Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And then down to verse 22. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Why is this world broken? According to the diagnosis of the Bible, it is under the power of sin. Just like an infection can enter our body and have a devastating impact on it, sin has similarly affected the world. It takes access, it takes control and asserts power over the normal and good functioning of our lives. I mean, let's explore this a little further. Sin affects every one of us. Every one of us sitting in this room, indeed, every person that ever has, currently does, and will be on this earth, every one of us will be affected by sin. The context of Paul's letter to the Romans is very interesting. The message of Jesus had been spreading beyond its Jewish origins. But for many Jews, accepting that God loves and accepts non-Jews was just a step too far. They just couldn't cope with that. In their minds, they were not like, you know, those other people. Us Jews, we are special. We are God's people. But did you notice how Paul put it in verse 9? What shall we as ethnic religious Jews, what will we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles, Jews and non-Jews alike, are all under the power of sin. Every one of us are under the power of sin. Could you imagine, like you're a Jew, and like Paul wrote these letters and then they were sent to the churches and then they were read out publicly. So just imagine, you're a Jew sitting in that church in the first century and someone's reading this letter from Paul. Could you imagine how uncomfortable you would feel? You would just have nowhere to hide. Hang on a second, you'd be thinking, Paul, what are you saying? Me? Me? I've been affected by this powerful disease too? I mean, are you kidding? I eat the right food. I don't associate with the wrong kind of people. I do all the right hygiene. I practice all the right religious duties. No, Paul is saying, all of us are affected, even you. And then he goes on and reinforces this claim by using the ancient Jewish scriptures to paint a vivid picture of sin. He quotes their own scriptures. He says, guys, don't you believe this? Well, let me show you from your own scriptures. Yes, sin affects all of us. It affects every aspect of our being, regardless of who we are. It affects our relationship with God. This and first and foremost, to be under the power of sin is to have a broken relationship with God. Paul quotes from the Psalms saying, no one is righteous. No one is righteous. Paul is referring to our standing before God. And he's saying, we have lost our right standing before God. We no longer enjoy, as human beings, the favor and blessing of God. We have been cut off from God. We have become outcasts. To be unrighteous is to be separated from God, to be seen in the eyes of God as an outcast. Sin affects our understanding of God. Earlier in Romans, in chapter 1, Paul uses amazing language. He speaks of people who have suppressed the truth. I love that phrase, suppress the truth. It's obvious what is true, but no, it can't be true. And we hold it down, we cover it over, we deny its truthfulness. Human beings have suppressed the truth. Their thinking has become futile and our foolish hearts were darkened. Although we claim to be wise, God's word says we became fools. Our understanding concerning God is totally warped and distorted. And if you've ever doubted that, just go and talk to people. Sin affects our understanding of God. Sin affects our desire for God. There is no one, Paul quotes from the scriptures, who seeks God. This is devastating. There is no one who wants God. All have turned away. All have, just as Adam and Eve hid from God in the Garden of Eden, so too has humanity throughout the generations done the same. None of us desire God. I mean, just picture this for a second. Just think about what Paul is saying here. The God who made us and said of us, look at this, look at what I've made, look at these people, they are very good. This is the one who loves us and delights in being with us. We are his most precious creation. And now, because of the impact of sin, what does he say of us? Together, they have become worthless. That's devastating. You just allow this to sink in. Together, this is God describing humanity. Together, they have become worthless. As a parent, I could only imagine if my children did this to me, what is being described here, I would be devastated. I would be broken-hearted. God, our sin affects our relationship with God. Sin also affects our behavior. Verse 12, there is no one who does good. I thought I was a good person. There is no one who does good. This is true in the words we say. Verse 13, their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit, the poison of vipers is on their lips, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Think of the last 28 conversations you've had. Did any of this come into any of those? You're trying to think, hang on, 28. That was just a random number. But just you think about this description. The reality is, how do people speak to each other? Listen to the way we speak to each other. Listen to words, you know, sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but words will never harm me. What a lie. What an utter lie. People use words to kill with all the time. People just pull each other down with poison, like vipers. Yes, no one behaves. It's true of our words, and it's true of the way we treat other people. Verse 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. Again, here is this devastating picture that people treat each other badly. We do not, human beings, throughout their history, our history, have not chosen to walk together in peace. It's as simple as that. We do not, humanity has not pursued peace. From the perspective of the Bible, the way people behave betrays something about them, that there is just no fear of God. The idea here is no respect, no honouring of the Creator God. There is just no fear of God before their eyes. Psalm 36 tells us. So when I go to a doctor, I don't know about you, but I want the doctor to tell me the truth. I want to know what the problem is. I might not like the diagnosis. I might not feel comfortable with the diagnosis. I might want to deny the diagnosis and say, no, that's not really happening. But, as we said earlier, if you want to fix something, you need to a correct diagnosis of the problem in the first place. Why is this world broken? Whether it be me, our relationships, our environment. Why is this world broken? Because of the power of sin. But the really exciting thing about the message of the Bible is that it not only diagnoses the problem, it tells us how to fix it. Look again at what the Apostle Paul wrote here in Romans chapter 3, verse 22. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. What Paul is writing here is what was you would read being preached throughout the historical accounts recorded in Acts. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as simple as this. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now, when you go to the doctor says, okay, all right, this is your problem and you need to do this. Now, we understand that the doctor is saying, not just sitting there and saying, oh, okay, what will I say to this person today? Oh, I haven't said that for a while. I might say this. Oh, I like that idea. I might just do that. No, that's not what goes on, is it? The doctor has done research. He's diagnosed the problem. There's a whole ton of medical research going on. And coming out of all that background and all that understanding, he says, well, actually, I think this is what will sort the problem out. Well, what we've just read is indeed just that. Just that. It's all this background understanding behind this incredible claim that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. And indeed, this background information gives us great confidence that this is not some fairy tale. This is not just the whimsical idea of an individual, but this indeed is a solution to the problem. This will make a difference. You see, when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he defeated the power of sin. It was a sacrifice of atonement. He redeemed us. He died in our place. He took on himself our sin, our guilt and shame, our condemnation and the judgment we deserved, the slavery we were in and the death we faced every day of our lives. We see that it doesn't matter who we are or what we have done. Christ died for all of us. Christ died for all of us. It was a free gift. No one could get themselves out of this situation, no matter how they tried. It was something God did for us, even though we did not deserve it. A free gift. Christ died and rose again to change us. This is the act that takes away our unrighteousness and gives us a new standing, a new position before God. Indeed, in Christ, God no longer looks at us as worthless. Oh, let that sink in. God no longer looks at us as worthless, but as his justified children, as those who have been forgiven, those who are his sons and daughters, those whom he accepts, those on whom he delights to pour out his love and blessing. Yes, our world is broken, but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And if you're here this morning and have never come to that point of believing in Jesus, you can do that right now. Right now. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. I'll put the words up in a second. And you might like to quietly pray this prayer with me. Let's pray together. Dear God, yes, I accept I have lived my life under the power of sin. I have turned away from you. I have behaved in ways that do not honor you. But today, I thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus died and rose again to set me free from the power of sin. Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Amen. And if you were someone who has indeed prayed that prayer with me this morning for the first time, can I encourage you, come and talk to me after the service, talk to someone you trust. Let's continue the journey together. Let's continue to walk hand in hand in what God is doing in your life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because your faith is great, but because of all that God has done in Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can confidently know you will be saved. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for your eternal heart seen in the coming of Jesus. That despite this terrible diagnosis that none of us desire you, all of us have turned away from you, none of us have behaved in such a way that we honor you, you acted to bring us back to yourself and give us new life, give us hope, forgive our sin, give us an eternal purpose and blessing. Thank you for your free gift of grace. And yes, Lord, would you, by your Spirit, continue to burn the truth and reality of Jesus into all our hearts and lives. And we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.